Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to Fathers of the Grind. It is August, and we are on episode 31, and all the doubters didn't believe we'd make it this far, and here we are, so.
So, out of the 2.45695 listeners, how many of those were doubters?
I'd say at least 50% of our listeners were doubters. Yeah.
Well, I want to make sure I make this announcement before we kick the show off. Since it's only episode 31 and it's nothing special, I have my clothes on.
Oh, that's all right though. You got to keep people coming back for more, you know?
If we ever go video.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You can guarantee I will not be wearing clothes.
Yeah. Well, that's a good reason for us not to go video. Actually, you just need to get a webcam and we'll be all set, man. So get a camera and let's do this. I may or may not mute your camera for most of the time, but
that would be fine.
Give it a whirl.
We'll see what our listeners say. They may want that rated triple X.
they might. All right, well, my name is Tim. The other guy you hear is Derek. And it is right in the middle of the week, so it's kind of a weird time for us to record. We've tried different times, and for those of you who, you know what? I shouldn't even say for those of you. All of you know what it's like to have a busy schedule, and for different reasons. And it's just challenging some weeks to find time. And so we've tried weekends, we've tried the middle of the day when family's out and doing something else. We've tried late at night, and it's just complicated. But we still like making the show. We still like talking video games and talking family. So we're gonna keep doing it for as long as we can figure out a time. Tonight actually is one of those nights that even though we had scheduled to record, it was like a perfect storm of dad frustrations, of father frustrations, you know what I mean? So my wife, for her birthday, I actually offered for her to have an evening to go out and get this mani-pedi, which she wanted, and that's great, but it just happened to be on this night we were going to record, and all the kids decided this was going to be the day of the summer that was going to be their worst behaved day, the biggest messes were going to happen. Like the dishes were all over the place. There was tons of stuff to clean up. They were tracking mud in the house because someone decided to turn the hose on out in the sand, and it just got crazy.
So is this because mommy was away that they decided to act like this, or was this just coincidence? They were having a bad day when she was gone.
I don't know. She said that they were pretty rough today. She's a stay-at-home mom, and I go to work every day. And she said they were pretty crazy, especially at the end of the day. But if she were here, I feel like they would have been a little more in line. But since Daddy was home, and Daddy was clearly tired, and was just kind of, I put The Office on Netflix and was quietly just doing the dishes, and they just decided to go crazy while I was occupied. And I turned around, and they were just nuts, man. So, one of those evenings. But I got most of them in bed, and my wife should be home any minute. So our daughter's the only one who's still up. She stays up a little late because she naps every day. She takes like 3 hours solid nap still. Which is crazy.
Nice.
And so, which is great, except for her nighttime. She doesn't wind down to like 10 or 10:30 most nights.
It's nice for mom.
Exactly.
Bad for dad.
Yeah, yeah. And during the school year, when the four boys will be in school, my wife's gonna love that when it's just her and Nev. And assuming that Nev's still napping, then she's gonna have a real sweet couple hours there in the afternoon. But
nice.
Whatever. All right. So that's what today's been. It's just one of those times. And as all of you who have listened have heard. We've had some interruptions from time to time during the show. I think that's kind of what makes the show what it is. It's about a couple of dads who have, as we talked about, jobs and wives and kids, and we're trying to fit in this hobby of ours and now this new hobby, which is podcasting, and it just throws another wrinkle into it. I don't know why we brought this on ourselves, but it just becomes challenging. But I think most of you can appreciate it, and I think that's why a lot of you keep tuning in, because you can relate to us on some level. So hopefully the interruptions come across as relatable and not as too annoying. But
so I'm gonna put you on blast a little bit, because you've shared with everybody your night.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that would explain your Rocket League play.
Oh
tonight.
Man, so the first game we played as all right, but that, you know why? Because no one was in the room. Everyone had gone outside. I had given them their watermelon snacks, and it was quiet. And then they started coming in one at a time and tracking mud in. So with one hand, I was trying to make sure I could, you know, like wave them towards what mud to clean up. And then I would try to get my hands back on the controller to make a play. And it was rough. It was real rough. Yeah. So that wasn't the whole time. There were definitely some, I was just kind of off my game. But man, when I'm, I don't know about you, but when I'm already frustrated, my hand-eye coordination for just about anything is so bad. And I was not even frustrated about the game, but that compounded it. Like we lost like 3 or 4 in a row, and I was getting really frustrated at that. But I was more frustrated with my 9-year-old, my 6-year-old, my 5-year-old, and my 3-year-old just going nuts on me. So yeah. It was a combination of the two.
Well, the reason I brought it up is because, as you know, and many of our listeners know, I'm a trash talker. And so I'm playing, like, this amazing game.
You had a bunch of good games. You did, yeah.
And this one particular guy, and I'm not going to go into what he said, was saying some very rude stuff. So I started talking trash, and we're in the game. It was like a back-and-forth game. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what the freak is Tim doing? Like, he's just letting all these easy goals go by. And it's literally right after I talk smack. Like, I'll be like, what a save, or nice shot, cool guy. And then, boom, he scores. And then he's like,
throwing up the what a saves to you. You know what's funny is my son, my oldest son, he was actually being a little bit of a help towards the end when he realized that everyone was being crazy. So credit to him. His name's Kale. He was being pretty good at the end. And then he sat down to watch my last game with you, and it was, again, another bad game. And he just kind of goes, are you having a hard night, Dad? I was like, yeah, I am. So I'm going to log off and get you guys in bed. I am having a hard night, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All in fun. The only thing I was upset about, I don't care if we lose or whatever, is I was like, man, usually when I play with Tim, that's an opportunity to rank up.
Yeah.
And I was at a gold with 2 bars. And then because of lag, like of last week, I dropped to gold with 1 bar. And so tonight I started playing with you with a golden 1 bar, and by the time you and I finished, I was a silver.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we won one, lost one. I feel like we won one more, but then we lost like 3 or 4 in a row, and I was out.
It was bad news.
It was bad. First game was good, though. First game was like, all right, we might hit our stride here, and then my offspring decided to ruin everything. All right. So anyway, let's talk about video games that are not called Rocket League. And by the way, our friend Jesse can attest to the fact that when I'm off, I'm definitely off. And a lot of it is because I still drive around with that same confidence when I'm like really focused and playing. But I'm still distracted by other stuff, whether it's talking to my wife or trying to deal with the kids. And so whoever my partner is like, oh, no, he's got this save. And then I glance away for a second to be like, don't step on that. And then I look back and I totally whiff. So I feel real bad. But yeah, it is what it is. All right, so let's talk about non-Rocket League games here for a few minutes. What have you been playing? Actually, what have you just wrapped up? I know you've been going through some games this summer. What are you playing?
I don't know if we talked about it last week, and we may have, and if we did, oh well. I finished Gears of War 3, and I've started Gears of War 2. I'm almost at the end of it.
It's kind of weird you're going out of order, isn't it? Or is that not that weird?
It's not that weird just because I've played them before. I mean, if this was my first time, it'd be stupid. But I've played all the games. What's been really cool, and what I will say about the two that I've been playing is I almost completely forgot the entire games. Like, I was playing Gears. Yeah, like, I was playing Gears of War 3, and there was, like, 2 parts that I knew about that, like, they stuck out. And so I remembered them, and even one of them, I actually remembered it different than it actually was, but it was still in the game. But other than that, everything else felt fresh and new. So then I was like, well, let me try to play Gears of War 2. And both Gears of War 2 and 3 are not, like, I like them, because I like all Gears games. It's my favorite Microsoft franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have as much love for those two games as I do the original.
Gotcha.
So going back and playing these, it's pretty awesome because both of them have exceeded my expectations. I know we talked about last week how we were like, well, when you go back and play a game, do you ever like it more, like it less, or do you just feel the same? For you, it was you basically feel the same. You already love it, and it stays that way. For me, sometimes I forget my experiences. Only thing I can remember is, I didn't really like that game that much. Or, it was alright, let me go back and see if I like it more. And these two games, while they were more than better than all right, they're definitely better than what I remember. And I've actually really, really enjoyed going back and playing them.
Now, do you like 3 more than 2? Is that why you played that first, just in case you kind of lost steam in playing the games?
I actually started 3 in hopes of playing with more than just myself. I knew, like, Jesse and Rob Rinaldi and Nate Bacon and some of our other listeners, they got Xbox Ones. They love Gears of War like I do. So I was like, oh, I'll start Gears of War 3 first. Let's see if we get people jumping in. The only person I've really gotten to play with more than once is Jesse White. And we'll probably beat Gears of War 2 together. And then from there, I'll probably go to Gears of War Judgment. But I did make an announcement on Facebook that if anybody wants to play Bloodborne or Dark Souls 3 with me, I'm down. So I'm still playing those.
Nice. Nice. All right, so you're replaying stuff right now, which is kind of, it makes sense. It's kind of appropriate timing considering we just talked last week about replaying games. So I can see that you're kind of in that place. You're going back to games, revisiting some stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I should be playing new stuff because between you and I buying games, like, you know, that whole, and I think we talked about this before, that whole drive of like, well, I moved from this game, now I gotta go to this one because I bought it, or Tim bought it. And I just have been ignoring that voice. I've been like, no, I'm just gonna play what I want. Yep. These are the games I like. And then if I ever get in a desire to play something new, I will. I did, and before we go to you, I will add on that I did play Homefront. And I actually put in about 3-4 hours into
it. This is the sequel, right? Revolution?
Yeah, Revolution. Okay. And I like it. It's not, it's flawed. It's definitely flawed. But I like it. Like, it's fun. I do not regret spending my $19 on it. I'm really happy I got it.
You guys heard it here first. It's Derek's game of the year so far.
Yeah, definitely. Well, game of the century.
Game of the century, right.
I don't want to underwhelm it with just game of the year. Game of the century. But no, it's a pretty good game. I think I posted about it and I said, if you've got $20 and you're interested, buy it under 20. If you're not interested, obviously, it's not good enough for me to tell you, you've got to play. It's not a must play. But if it's something that you're like, for instance, I'll speak to you, you like Far Cry games.
I do.
I would say when this game drops under 20, maybe $10, because it's going to be a game that drops pretty fast. I mean, I got it retail for 19. Then I would do it. I think you'll have fun with it. It's got a lot of...
What would you compare it to? Is it like an open world like Far Cry and like Dying Light? Is it kind of that type of a...
I wouldn't say it is as open as Far Cry. It has like a Dying Light vibe because it's made by the same developer or publisher.
It had the same look to it, I thought.
Yeah, it has a look, and then it has like when you go to pick up like items and all the stuff, it's the same like way that you would see it in Dying Light, they do it.
And you're playing this on PC, right?
Actually, I got it on the PS4. I got a hard copy of it on PS4. Nice. So I decided they've been patching the game, so a lot of the reasons why it got low reviews was because of like issues with the actual trying to play it, and those things, most of them have been patched out. So it actually just plays how it should have played when it launched.
Nice.
Pretty good game.
That's a good recommendation. I mean, it's one of those ones that you're like, hey, don't play this for your game of the year consideration, but play it if you're looking for something a little different that's kind of fun. It's usually going to be cheap.
Yeah, it's just one of those, like, you don't play it for a story.
Yeah.
You play
it's
for,
a first-person
like,
shooter, or is it third-person?
It's first-person, so
first
it's
person
like...
Shooter. Okay.
I would suggest playing it like you would play, like, a Mad Max. Like, hey, I'm just in it for the fun ride. I'm not in it for anything else.
Yeah, that's on my backlog, too. All right, so let's talk about things that I'm playing. I just finished 2 games. Last time we talked, if I remember correctly, I was almost finished with I Am Setsuna, and I'm now done with that game. It was a very good game, a great JRPG. It was kind of nice timing in between some of these larger scale games I'm working through between The Witcher 3 and then Rise of the Tomb Raider, so good timing. I stand by what I said before. It's right in the solid 8.5 type of a range for me. It's a great game. Had it come out during the PS1 era, it probably would have been on my top list. You know, probably would have been up there with my Final Fantasy 9s and Suikoden 2s and those kind of games. So it's very, very good. It just doesn't really do anything new. That's the only drawback, really. So it's good. Rise of the Tomb Raider, I finished about two nights ago, and it's fantastic. It's right up there with the original reboot that came out, I think, 2013, maybe. It's right up there with the best of the Uncharted series. It's really amazing. If you have an Xbox One, you probably could find this game for very, very cheap.
It was on sale for like $20.
Oh, and you can get it for even cheaper than that if you go used some places. So definitely get it if you've got an Xbox One. If you don't, if you have a PS4 and you're holding out, then you're in for quite a treat when it comes out in October with the full DLC and the extra modes it's going to have. I would say if you haven't played it at all and you're waiting on the PS4, for me personally, it's definitely worth the full price if you're excited about it and really want to play it. If you can wait a little bit, I'm guessing the price won't be up there for too long, since it is it's not a re-release, but it's a definitive edition of a previous release. So anyway, all that to say, amazing game. I don't think it's as good as Uncharted 4. So since those games get compared a ton, I know there's differences, but they are very similar. There's lots of climbing and third-person cover-based shooting. I liked Uncharted 4 better, but man, do I love the bow and arrow of Tomb Raider, and she's a very likable character. It's a decent story. It's very, very good. So, love that game. And I tried a little bit of Tricky Towers, which is one of the free PS4 games that's out this month. I was just curious to at least give it a shot before I deleted it, and because it looked like Tetris, and I've always been a Tetris fan. And it basically is Tetris, except you're not trying to line up blocks to make them go away. You're actually trying to build towers. It's like a physics-based Tetris, if you haven't tried it yet. So you've got this kind of small platform, and they have a set number of blocks or a certain amount of time or a certain level you need to reach. They have all these little goals that you have to reach. It's just a puzzle game. It's got a lot of personality. It's got these little wizards that are floating around kind of laughing and reacting to everything that's happening. It's a solid game. It probably would do better on, you know, something mobile or maybe a portable of some kind. I'm not sure if it does on portables or not. But it's not bad. It's free on PS Plus, so go give it a shot if you like puzzle games. And I think there's two-player couch co-op, too, if you want to play with a friend. And lastly, so right now I'm kind of in between. I just finished Rise of the Tomb Raider, and now I'm just kind of waiting. So I'm playing a little Rocket League. Still watching a bunch of TV shows with my wife. We're enjoying the summertime of staying up late and watching shows most nights. And I'm just kind of in between things, waiting for No Man's Sky to come out this coming week. So by the time you guys are hearing this, No Man's Sky will be coming out probably tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of waiting for that one to come out. I'm not going to commit to another big game. I'm just going to try little stuff like Tricky Towers.
I think that's why my goal is to beat Gears 2, and I said I might jump in the Judgment, but realistically, if No Man's Sky does hook me, and I am going to give it a chance, then probably not. So I'm really hoping No Man's Sky is special. I've heard it's got good, fun, simple gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I do like, and this is the one thing that kind of gave me hope that I would like it, was I do like that there is a purpose. If the game was literally, just go from planet to planet, and maybe you'll run into somebody, and you can name it, then I could tell you right now, no.
That's also because
you
and I are a little bit old, maybe not too old, but we just kind of missed the boat on the whole Minecraft era of games.
And that
kind of game does not really interest me. I see the draw, but it doesn't really interest me. And so since No Man's Sky had potential to be that, where it's just make your own space adventure, that wouldn't be fun to me. So I'm glad it's got the openness and the exploration, which I think is going to be the hook. But
yeah,
I'm also glad that it has a line. Quest line, but there's definitely, according to the early leaks of the guy who had the game early, assuming that that's legit, and I think it is, we've got a solid 20 to 30 hour single player experience, bare minimum.
It is legit. I know Sean Murray said in an interview a long time ago, because he's always been really vague in his interviews.
Yeah.
But he did come out, and this was like probably a year ago now, and say, hey, listen, this isn't just an exploration game.
Right.
There is a purpose. I want to say there's supposed to be some type of villain. I don't know if it's your typical villain, but there is supposed to be some type of antagonist and a purpose to the game. So I'm really hoping that's true I wasn't misled or misheard. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I took the whole week off work just to play that game.
Yeah, you did.
yeah, I mean, why would I take it off for Deus Ex?
Even before the delay, you took that week off ready to play this game.
Yeah, I was totally pumped for it. So, yeah, I'm excited, though. I'll probably stay up to midnight since I don't have to go to work the next day and give it a shot.
I probably won't do that, but I will definitely play it as soon as I'm able to. So that'll be my next game moving forward here. There are still some things in my backlog that I technically could jump into. It's only Wednesday, so I could knock something out in the next 5 or 6 days. And so who knows? Something might all of a sudden pique my interest. But
I've been waiting for you to jump into Watch Dogs. You said it was going to be a summer game.
I know, and here we are in August. Maybe that's the one. Is that a pretty long single player campaign? Is it like Assassin's Creed games where it's in a 20-hour range?
It's probably around 20 hours.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't as long as GTA 5. Okay. It's just whether it hooks you. I think you should just try it because we talked about this, that if it's something that you play and you're like, okay, this is fun, then I think you could beat it. I don't know if you could beat it before No Man's Sky, but maybe when you get a little tired of No Man's Sky, you could just switch back to Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
At least nice that's how I do it. Man. I like to play two games at one time. But
there are
different
styles of games. Yeah, that could work.
And if you don't like it, and if it doesn't hook you in the first 3 or 4 hours, then you know, I'm done. Move along.
Yeah. Well, speaking of No Man's Sky and talking about how big that game's supposed to be, and I've seen all these different mathematical equations on how long it would take for everyone on Earth to find it. It would take everyone on Earth 100 years of finding every planet or whatever. There's all these different explanations of how big this procedurally generated galaxy-sized game is. And that's really cool. That's great. But I'm really glad to hear that there is a straight storyline or at least some sort of main quest line that can be completed so you can feel like, hey, I'm not going to platinum this game, I'm not going to 100% it, but I do feel like I've finished it, like I've completed it. So that's a nice feeling to have. And so it made me wonder, and we've talked about this before, for our topic this week, I want to talk about game length. And essentially, here's the question for you to contemplate. Does size matter? That's the question.
Well, if I'm a girl, yes. If I'm a guy and I haven't figured out what I am yet,
then yes.
No, size does not matter for me as a man.
Yeah, it's not the length of the game. It's the motion of the. You know what? I got nothing.
Dad joke fail.
Yeah, total fail. So I want to talk about the length of games because this has been a hot topic for pretty much every major game that's released. I mean, think about when The Order came out and all of a sudden it was revealed, you can beat this game in 5 to 6 hours, maybe 7 if you really take your time. And then something like The Witcher comes out and they're like, we have 200 hours of gameplay. Yeah. And then when you hear the reactions to those two different sides, it's really funny because you've got some people who are like, 200 hours? I can't even scratch that. I'm not even gonna try it. So they stay away. And someone sees The Order is only 5 or 6 hours, like, well, that's nowhere near long enough. I'm not even gonna try it. And so it makes me wonder, for you personally, and for you, the listeners as well, I want to hear what you guys think, what's the ideal number of hours that a game should have? Or what range would you say is the ideal length for a game?
I mean, I'll just say what I personally like, that I'm a little bit nicer about length as far as, for instance, we'll use the example of The Order. When it came out that it was 7 hours, I didn't flip out. My immediate reaction was, if I like the game enough, I'll just replay it. And so I actually played that game 3 times, so I got 21 hours of gameplay out of it. Same thing, I always use Gears of War as an example. The first Gears of War takes about 8 or 9 hours to beat. It's not a long game, especially if you get good at it. So me playing it multiple times is where I got, because I don't play the multiplayer, is where I got my meat from. Not, oh, I played it one and done, only got 8 hours, 8 hours divided into $60, I got ripped off. Like, I don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I know I'm taking forever to answer, you had to put me on a word limit, but I like my games to be 12. I know. I like my games to be 12 to 20 hours long.
Okay.
Like, it's somewhere in between there. I feel like those are, and if you think about it, those are your Uncharted, your Rise of the Tomb Raider, and even Mass Effect goes a little over that, but most of them are built to be about 20 to 25 hours long.
A lot of your non-RPG AAA games are going to fall in that range. I mean, unless it's a Western RPG or something like that, or one of the Souls games, unless it's one of those, then it'll probably land in that time frame. And even the Souls games, if you're good enough at them, I suppose you could knock out and maybe close to 20 hours.
Well, I mean, the first time I went through Dark Souls 3, it took me 35 hours. I've got a total hours. Right now, I'm at 55 hours, but I've completed the game twice. And I've played it beyond me beating it twice. So I would say I beat it in that second run and half that time, probably in about 16 to 17
hours. Well, you knew what you were doing. You were, yeah, you knew how
to. Oh, yeah, I knew where everything was. I knew where all the secrets were. I just went in, nailed it, got out.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of those, again, AAA games, unless it's going to be some kind of unique Western RPG like your Fallout 4, your Witcher 3, your Skyrims, things like that, those are, of course, going to be extremely lengthy when it comes to how much time you can put into those games. But I think for the most part, a main quest storyline usually won't go too far above 20 hours these days. I feel like anything above 20 hours is like, wow, that's a long game. At least for the main quest line. For me, I put this, and I say this kind of facetiously, of course, but anything from 1 to 100 hours. And I really do mean that. I don't really have an ideal length of a game. I can only think of a few times that I've broached that 100-hour mark, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for the most part, if a game takes me 60 hours, and that's what time I put into it, and I'm guessing that The Witcher 3, I have no idea what time is because it wasn't tracking correctly when I would have the game on suspend, but I had to have put more than 60, probably more than 80 hours into that game. Had to have. And I, as I've said before, I think that's one of the greatest games of this generation. I think it's fantastic. Also, there's games that I've played that are incredibly short. Think of Firewatch. Very short experience, but I've put it on my short list for one of my favorites this year so far. So
Firewatch.
I'm
judging
you. And even a game like Gone Home, which I thought was a very creative story and very well done. Even a game like Vanishing of Ethan Carter. So these story-based games, they're shorter, but they're still impactful, in my opinion. So they can be a much shorter game and still, I think, be pretty impactful. And so that brings me up to the next question, which is, I'm going to skip to that third one there. When a really great game is brief, does it affect your opinion of it? And you kind of answered this with the order, but can you think of an example when a really great game just wasn't quite long enough? You're like, you know what? I can only want to replay this, and it was too short of an experience.
I don't know. I mean, I really haven't been impacted. I guess you could say The Order. I would have preferred it to be longer. I know I would have preferred it to be longer. Now, I justified it by replaying it because I really liked the game. Like, I, more than the gameplay, I just enjoyed, like, the atmosphere and the characters. Yeah. And even the story.
Gameplay, I did like the story, too.
Yeah, the gameplay was solid, but it wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
But I do know that I would have... There were several times when I was playing, especially in my three playthroughs, where I was like, they could have done this. They could have done this, and this would have made the game longer. And even with the 7 hours, there were several portions where the game forced you to walk. Like, it was like, oh, yeah. No, you don't have the option to run.
Yeah, Galahad moves quite slowly.
Yeah, and I knew they did that on purpose. Yeah. Like, I knew they were like, we have to lock this so we can add, like, 30 minutes of gameplay time on.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire game when they force you to walk. So there were several. There's probably been other ones, but again, I'm not that. It's just not a big deal to me. I actually prefer, at this point in my life, the shorter experiences. I was actually talking to my brother through text the other day because we're wheeling and dealing right now. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to give you Xenoblade Chronicles X. He just bought the copy, and he's like, I'm going to give it to you. Just trade it in, you know, put it towards your VR. And I said, why did you not like it? And he's like, no, that's not it at all. I thought it was pretty cool. It's just reality hit me that this game's like a 100-hour game.
Yeah.
And he already has, because he's late to the console generations, he only was a PC gamer. So coming over here, he's now trying to experience The Last of Us, Uncharted, and so on.
Mm.
That game is just not a smart game. And that's what I told him. I was like, exactly, dude. Because when I bought it, I was hyped for it. And I started playing. I was like, it's fun. It plays just like Xenoblade Chronicles. But I didn't invest much time in it because I was like, you know what? It doesn't offer what Xenoblade Chronicles offered, where it had like a actual narrative that I cared about with a character. They gave you this avatar to create, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Not for that type of game, not for JRPGs. And so I was like, no, I totally get it. Like, it's just too long. It's too big. There's too much crap to do, and there's not, like, this set gameplay that you could play when you've already got this huge backlog. And that's how I feel. Like,
yeah, and that would, especially games, if it's part of the backlog, I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and big games nowadays, even The Witcher, I know people are going to be like, but Derek, you beat The Witcher, you played all the expansions. Well, first of all, I spaced that out. And second of all, the way I play a lot of open world games, if they're really, really challenging, I'll lower the level of difficulty just to enjoy the story. If I'm getting to that point where I'm like, oh, I don't want to play. I know. Where is he at?
Easy mode.
But I'll do it on certain games if I'm like, I'm really getting tired of playing this and I'm tired of dying.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
So if it's something I just want to finish, I don't do it a lot, but I do do it on the big do it on the bigger games.
We're making it through most of this discussion talking about it wasn't long enough. It was way too long. We're making through most of that without giggling, so we can laugh at a doo-doo every once in a while.
Do it.
I was going to say that as far as shorter games affecting my opinion of it, I can think of a few, and I know I just got finished saying that there isn't really an ideal length for a game, and I stand by that. I don't think there isn't one ideal length for a game, but a game like Inside. So I just completed that game a few weeks ago. Came out on the Xbox One. It's coming out on PS4, sounds like, at the end of this month, too. And I, when that game was over, I felt like I was just starting to ramp it up with understanding all the different mechanics and some of the ways the puzzles worked. And I was really getting interested. And there's kind of a weird twist in the last, 15, 20 minutes of that game. And it kind of changes things up. And it really makes some of the puzzles and things you have to figure out really interesting. And kind of disturbing, but really interesting. And I wanted more of that. And so when the game was over, I didn't want to go back to the beginning before everything had changed and just gotten interesting. I didn't want to play through it again. So the replay value on a game like that, for me personally, was not very high. And so Inside, great game, very high quality, yet the brevity of it really kind of brought it down for me. And same thing with games like Shadow Complex, which was a really fun kind of Metroidvania side-scrolling game. That came out a few years back, and I think it was really good, but man, was it a short and a little bit too easy of a game. And so I'm really hoping that when they make the inevitable sequel, that it'll be a lot better. And one last one that comes to mind was the poor Nintendo 64. They had hardly any RPGs. I mean, the PS1 was demolishing them in terms of deep, meaty RPG games. And Quest 64 arrived, and it was supposed to be this beacon of hope for us Nintendo fans who had held out and were like, no, Nintendo, you can do it. You can do an RPG game that's, you know, not Zelda, since that's technically not an RPG. You can do it. And so I forget which company it was, THQ maybe. They put out Quest 64, and that game was very weak. It didn't look that great, and the battle system was not that great. But just as it started to get interesting, and I started to pick up some things in the battle system that were okay, not too bad, kind of interesting, the magic abilities they give you, then the game's over. I finished that game in like 8 hours, and that was supposed to be the big N64 epic RPG was over in just 8 hours, and I couldn't believe it. I wasn't even trying to move through it that quickly. I couldn't believe it was that short, so that definitely affected my opinion of that game. But yeah, I think it can affect it, and on the other hand, some games drag on for too long. And they overstay their welcome. So what games, or I guess a group of games for you, jump out as being, hey, you know what? This is too much now. Like, I've enjoyed it for a while, but now I'm ready to move on, and the game is still going. What games jump out at you?
I talked about Final Fantasy X did that for me. Mm-hmm. It was my first real experience.
That's one for me, too. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, as I was getting in that last probably 15, 20 hours, I was like, oh my, every time I would run into like a random battle, I'd roll my eyes or slam the controller and be like, oh my God, I just want to save the game and quit, you know? So that type of game went to me too far, but I can say that for all JRPGs. I've yet to play, and I know I Am Setsuna is a shorter one. Star Ocean's the newest one. I'll eventually get that when it's cheaper. It's supposed to be like basically a 20-hour. So I think they're getting better at saying, hey, we may need to shorten these down a little bit.
Yeah.
But in general, my experience with JRPGs is they're way too long. They drag on and they get on my nerves after a while.
Well, and it just depends on the game, too. I think there are definite examples of that. I think that I Am Setsuna is a shorter game, yes. But I'll tell you what, the overall vibe that game gives off with the snow and the sad piano music and just kind of the the heavy story. They do try to lighten the mood, and they do have a few comic relief moments and characters, but they're just not funny in the backdrop of where it is. It seems more like they're trying to lighten it up, realizing, hey guys, this game is depressing. Let's lighten it up a little bit. And so for the that game by the end, I was ready for it to be over. I'm not saying that it felt like it was too long, because I finished it in, I think, under 20 hours. But it still, I was ready for it to be done. Had it been any longer, I probably would have been like, I probably would have had it as a major complaint that this game was just way too long. So the setting and the story and the characters can make a difference there too. I didn't really realize how much time I had put into The Witcher 3 because I was so lost in that world and the lore and the different monsters, and then they would add new monster quests and then the DLC and the variety of characters and settings. You can travel so many different places, and there's still things that I have yet to see in that game, even though I've kind of sidelined it for the time being. Now that I've finished all the main story and all the main DLC, I'm going to put it on the bench for a little while. But there's still a ton of The Witcher 3 world that I haven't seen. There's plenty of side quests and several monster hunt quests and gear to find and Gwent games to win. There's plenty of that I haven't done yet. And and that's okay. You know, that game, I was ready to be done with it because the story was finished and I didn't want it to overstay its welcome. Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, we got to pause 1 second. Okay.
Thanks, man. Sorry about that. All right, and we're back. Sorry about the break there. Actually, this is one of those moments that a lot of parents can understand. It wasn't like a pukey moment or anything like that, but my kid came downstairs and he had blood all over his face.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is lovely. Turns out he was picking his nose a little too fiercely and gave himself a major nosebleed. There was blood like from his bed all the way to the bathroom, all over the sink, toilet. And he had tons of tissues in the trash can. He was trying to cover up his crime. And so anyway.
He was looking for a nighttime snack is what he was looking for.
That's exactly what I was looking for. And it's funny because I asked him, I was like, buddy, you know, were you picking your nose or something, or did it start bleeding? And he was like, I don't know, maybe it just started bleeding. I was like, were you picking your nose? And then he just goes, he's five, he goes, I was just trying to get it. And I was like, I know the feeling, buddy. I know the feeling.
That's awesome.
All right. Anyway, so we were talking about games that drag on too long. And so there's a few that came to mind for me. Final Fantasy X is actually one of them. And I do like Final Fantasy games, but I do remember 10, and I can't remember why. But I remember 10 feeling a little bit too drawn out. Something about it just felt like it should have wrapped up sooner. So I agree with you on that one. Another one that comes to mind is it was supposed to be kind of a quasi-sequel to Chrono Trigger, and it's called Chrono Cross. Mm-hmm. And Chrono Cross is a solid PS1 game. It's a good turn-based JRPG. You should go check it out if you haven't before. The music's beautiful. Interesting story. Not amazing, but interesting story with solid characters and a fun battle system. It is definitely too long for its own good because it's not that interesting. The story is not that compelling. The characters aren't that amazing that it needs to be 40, 50 hours, whatever it is. It's way too long. So, and there's other games like that too. I'm sure a lot of you have played those where this game is just going for too long. You know, I feel like there's a couple of experiences with God of War that I felt like went on a little bit too long. Maybe that's not the actual case, but for some reason in my mind, I remember my experience with one or two God of War games being like, are we at the end yet? Is this the final god I'm supposed to kill yet?
Yeah.
So, anyway, it happens.
Sometimes it's the game, and sometimes it's just me. Sometimes I'm like, I just want to finish this game, and I might only be like 8 hours into it, and I'm not even that far in. So, you know, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's the game, but yeah.
Well, and sometimes it's when you are playing... Sometimes it is when you are playing two games at once, and the one that you're trying to wrap up, you're much more interested in game number two at that moment. You know, you just feel like playing the other one. So that sometimes that happens too.
That 100% happens.
So last question for you about when it comes to game length, does size matter? What's the longest game that you've played and finished? Not that you've played and you know it's a long game, but that you've actually seen the closing credits on. Maybe you didn't 100% it, but you did finish the main game.
Since I can't like count Death Row, Rocket League, and Destiny.
Yeah, that's where your most hours are spent, I'm sure.
I'm gonna say it's probably Dragon Age Inquisition, and then probably The Witcher 3 are the two games that are, you know, open world, have a story, and that I invested the most time in. The Witcher 3, I don't think I ever took a break, except obviously between the game and the expansions. Dragon Age Inquisition, I actually had to take a break. And again, I won't say it's because me personally, I felt like the game went on too long. It was more me just being like distracted by other games, because it came out in November with a bunch of other good games. But that game went on quite a bit. Yeah. We even had a conversation in the group with Jose Jimenez, who had finally finished Dragon Age Inquisition. And I know he liked it way less than I did, and he said
he liked it, didn't love it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, it was all right. It just got a little boring, and it went on way too long. And I could totally understand that, because I do feel like out of all the Dragon Age games, Inquisition lacked the story that I cared about the most. And I felt like it had the opportunity to be the most epic when it came to story. I felt like they focused so much on making it a big open game because of complaints from the previous two, that they ignored the best part of what Dragon Age is, and that's story and characters. But anyways, that's my little rant on Dragon Age. As far as shortest game, it's got to be Journey Trash Garbage Trash Edition.
TGT.
That game is just garbage ass garbage, and it makes me angry. I literally get angry when people try to tell me Journey's such an emotional experience. Then I must be like Sasan and have no emotions, because I played that game and was like, I want to kill somebody, because this game is just trash, garbage, trash. It's terrible.
It's funny how short that game is. I still never finished it. I played it for like an hour, and I was like, I don't care. I don't care about jumping around this desert, collecting these little orb things and spinning my little frock or whatever. I just didn't care, which is funny, because between the two of us, that game is much more likely to appeal to me. As like, yeah, it was a good experience, and here's why. I just, man, I had no interest in Journey. But so I'm with you
there. It made me more angry, because I bought it because everybody at this time that I was in a group with, they were like, it's epic, it's amazing, it's so spiritual and emotional. And then I've got GameSpot, this was the site I was on the most at this time, saying it was their game of the year, and there was other sites saying it was their game of the year, and they even made videos about how the multiplayer aspect of the game was so genius. I was like, what's so genius about it? You don't even know you're playing with anybody. That's not genius. Like, you're not doing anything.
You know what's really interesting? You just brought something to my mind that I meant to ask you about, and this might take us off the rails a little bit, but who cares? Whether it's GameSpot, or maybe it's like a recognizable person in the video game industry. Think of like a Jeff Gertzman from Giant Bomb. He used to be at GameSpot. I don't think
he used to like games too.
He used to like games. But like a game like Journey, whether it's him or maybe like a Marty Sliva, for example, from IGN, these guys love games like Journey. These little experiences, like how creative, how amazing, and this. But then when Ubisoft puts out an Assassin's Creed game that isn't, for whatever reason, they don't like it. Maybe it's got some glitches here and there, but it's still a gorgeous game in an amazing, historically accurate setting. Everything from the language, as we talked about in our group once, to the fighting, to all the different systems they've put in there with hundreds and hundreds of people working on it. And they'll just bucket that game with a comment like, yeah, that game is not, it's a bad game. It's just not a good game.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind that a game that's got just a few little assets set in the desert with this little figure jumping around, and I can't knock people for liking it. I've heard from many, many people that they emotionally connected to it. But to call that game good, and to call something that is as epic and large scale as a Assassin's Creed, for example, which is easy to hate on, to call those games flat out bad just absolutely confuses me. Like, it makes me seriously question that person's judgment.
Well, and I agree with you, but I also, my biggest issue is when somebody doesn't play a game and they hate it because all of games media or maybe other users will say, this game is trash. Like, for instance, Assassin's Creed Unity, I'm not going to say it's the most amazing game. I'm not even going to defend it.
It's one of the worst Assassin's Creed games.
But. Yeah, well, and I liked it more than other people, but I didn't think it was that bad, but most people that trashed that game actually didn't even play it. Now, there was legit people that did play it, and they were like, I ran into this bug and this bug, and I hated that game. And that I respect. It's when somebody says, oh, I don't like this game because everybody else says it's trash, so it's trash. Like, when I'll use an example of a game that I talked about tonight. I made a post about Homefront, and I was like, I like it. And several people went on there and said, oh, this garbage game. They hadn't even played it. I know they haven't played it.
That's because nobody bought that game.
No, nobody in our group has played that game except one person played the demo, and he, Alan, will not even give it a chance because he hated the, well, not the demo, the beta. Yeah. He hated the beta so much.
Yeah, but that's a legit thought, though, you know? It's like, hey, I gave it a shot, even just in a small snippet of it.
No, and that's fine. You can play, like, a beta or a demo and say, look, this game is trash. And as far as the sample of it I play, therefore I have no interest to play the full game. Exactly. I get that. And you can even agree with the reviewers if you want. It's when you haven't experienced the game. Like, if I come out and say, I hate Journey, and I've never played Journey before, I just hate it because it's an indie title and it's popular, then I would hate myself for that.
Yeah.
Like, I've never played Gone Home, and I know how it plays out and all that stuff. I have zero interest in it, so I definitely think if I played it, I would call it a TGT game. But I won't say it because I haven't actually played it
yet. Let me just tell you this, just man to man, friend to friend, don't play Gone Home. You will not like it.
I know. It's
So some of the games that I've played that were just some of the, I guess I could say I put the most time into, would all be MMOs. And so I know your brother and a few others can relate to this. Games like EverQuest 2 or World of Warcraft. I played a lot of Star Wars The Old Republic. I loved that game. And that was really story-driven, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be played, I would argue, I would say 90% of that game, you can experience the main story, at least, single player. Now, you're going to miss out on some of the side stories and some of the, I forget what they call their raids in that game, but some of those missions you could run that you need extra people. Those are a lot of fun, and you're missing out on gear. You're missing out on end game stuff, but you can experience each class's storyline solo for the most part. And it's a great game. I put more time into that than probably any standard console game. City of Heroes, I spent way too much time with that game.
I played a good amount of City of Heroes.
A lot of fun. And I wish there was another game like that, but there's not. But as far as standard console games, it's going to have to be The Witcher 3. The only other one that might eclipse it would be Final Fantasy VI, because I replayed that one more than anything else. And that game is a solid, even if you know what you're doing, it's going to take you 30 hours to beat. Usually 40 or 50 if it's your first time through. So The Witcher 3 probably was the one that took me the longest, and that's just taking into account the mainline story with some side stuff. The shortest one would be all of these story-based games: Gone Home, Firewatch, Vanishing of Ethan Carter. These games are all very short, bite-sized experiences, other than puzzle games and games like Rocket League, where each game's 5 minutes. You know, not taking those into account, then it's going to be these little story-based games that are done and done. Like, you finish the story and that's it. You never go back to it. So, anyway, I think we've made a lot of progress on this conversation, and now we can determine that size does indeed not matter. So, all of you guys who are waiting for that.
Is Journey is trash, garbage, trash.
Yeah,
make TGT. Sure everybody understands that.
Oh, and also is DFC, that's the company that makes these games. I've been told recently that actually means Daniel Freitas is cool or something like that.
Oh my gosh. Daniel Freitas is literally the worst.
As opposed to Dirty Filthy Casual. Oh boy.
Jeez.
All right, well, let's get to the major piece of news that's come out here at the late summer that we were going to talk about last week but ran out of time. And I want to talk about Nintendo, because my interest is starting to ramp up in what Nintendo is doing. So let's talk a little bit about this leak that came out of Eurogamer. There's articles everywhere, but the Eurogamer report essentially has a number of trusted sources, and it's been confirmed by all these different news outlets that, these are trusted sources, and we won't know for sure until they reveal it. Am I remembering this correctly, that Nintendo is supposed to reveal things in September? Did I hear that correctly? I think September.
I think the reveal is all rumored right now. Nobody knows when they're doing it.
Okay, maybe part of this rumor is that September is there.
Is September the TGS?
It's TGS. It's TGS, but I think they would either reveal it before or after that on their own terms.
I think this is getting ridiculous. Like, if they're really going to launch this in March or April, I have trouble believing that now. You know what? They have to do that if they want to compete with Microsoft or Sony, because they already know the Scorpio is coming out in fall of 2017. You're not going to be able to compete with that.
Yeah, the only reason I could see holding off is if for some reason you thought you might push more of your platform, of your 3DS, especially being a portable. You don't want to undercut that holiday season. I could see that being a possibility as to why they're holding off, but who knows.
Not to cut you off, and obviously I want you to get to the meat of what we're going to talk about, but my issue is you've got somebody like me who likes to buy these things day one. Like, I'm trying to get the PSVR. I want to get the new Xbox One Scorpio. I want to buy this, even though I honestly don't know anything about it. I think it's a day one. I mean, I bought the Wii U on day one. But I also need time. Like, I'm not a $1 million a year person. I need time to either put money towards it or to trade stuff in. And my trade-in is getting lower. So the longer they wait, the more other things look more valuable for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what's frustrating, because I just want to know when it's coming out. I want to know a price so I can start planning and budgeting, and they're waiting way too long, because I know I'm not alone in this.
Right. No, I agree with you there. And as someone who totally skipped the Wii U, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what Nintendo has next. And so here, let me just try to summarize some of these rumors, and feel free to chime in. You won't be interrupting me. You'll just be helping me fill in some of these gaps here. There's a lot of different rumors, and I'll try to summarize as best I can. These sources are talking about the Nintendo NX being a very powerful handheld device. That's why we've heard these rumors about the cartridge-based games, which is not a surprise. We've talked about that. Some people start to like cringe at that. But cartridge-based doesn't have to be the old gray, big, plastic, bulky things. It could be a small, sleek 3DS cartridge. It'll just be a higher tech with a much stronger chip that can hold a lot more data. And think about SD cards. I mean, I've got SD cards that hold a ridiculous amount of data that would hold multiple PS4 and Xbox One games on it. I mean, SD cards are crazy.
They're cheap.
And they're very cheap, exactly. And you don't run the risk of, you know, disc scratching and needing to include a disc drive. That disc reader could be very expensive. So this could be a cost-cutting effort as well. It might have nothing to do with that.
What I was going to say is, if this is true, and I do believe this is true, I do believe that it is going to be a handheld console that then basically you can hook up to your TV, but then you can just walk away with it. Mm-hmm. It needs to be cartridge for the sake of disc is too much of a risk.
What are you going to do? You're going to have like some kind of anti-skip system like the old CD Walkmans?
I mean, the only thing you could do is like how PlayStation did the PSP with those like UMD discs.
With a protective case.
Yeah, where it was like in a case. But again, I think with Nintendo, they're going, okay, yeah, we could do that. But we already are probably going to make this compatible with our 3DS. Like, hey, you can play your 3DS games on this. You can play the new NX games on it as well. They're all cartridge based. There's no more confusion. You know, it's all one family, but it's not, you know.
If they could pull it off to make the DS or at least 3DS games compatible, that would be insane, especially considering the fact that these rumors all seem to be pointing towards a single screen. And so there would have to be some kind of workaround when you put a 3DS game in that you're only playing on single screen, which for a lot of games, it won't make a difference. It just means you don't have your bottom screen map or whatever, or commands. But for some games, it would seriously change the way the game's played. So that'd be interesting.
I mean, they probably won't do that. That was just me hoping, because
that'd be cool. That'd be cool though. But here's the crux of the system is that it is portable. There's one of the rumors talks about a docking station where you then set your NX or your little console, your little handheld in there, and then of course that dock is hooked up to your TV via HDMI cables, and you're ready to play those same games on your big screen. Another part of the rumors include details about the controller, which reportedly can attach to the side of your handheld unit while it's portable and detach and become your controller or controllers when you're sitting in front of the TV. So I'm not sure, again, how much weight that holds, but that's an interesting use. It just, in my mind, I'm wondering, is this thing going to be ugly and clunky? I hope not. You know, I hope it's smooth and intuitive. Let's see, controller modules attached to both sides of the screen. Yeah, the docking station I think is kind of cool. I like that idea. I've always liked the functionality of the Vita as my off-screen PS4, but it doesn't always work smoothly. And when you're away from your own Wi-Fi connection, there's definitely some lag issues. To have a little system that is running that actual game in itself means there's going to be no issues with lag. That system is running the game itself, and you can plug it in. I mean, imagine playing games like Pokemon or Fire Emblem or some of the other 3DS classics or DS classics or any kind of portable Nintendo game that normally was only on the go and you had to hold a screen up to your face. Now you can lean back on your couch and play on the big screen. That sounds awesome. I would love
that. Yeah, that's what I want. So I was going to ask you this. If, let's say, everything's true, maybe there's some small, minor differences, but overall, the core of these rumors are spot on. Like, it is cartridge-based, it is a handheld, but it's technically still also a console, so it does both, it's a hybrid, it's at about the Xbox One's power, which means when Scorpio comes out and the next PS4, which probably, or I don't want to say next PS4, but next PlayStation, it's probably going to be almost double the power. So again, Nintendo's going to be behind because this is the rumor that it is not more powerful than the Xbox One.
Right.
What would be your price range that you would say, yep, this is day one? And what would be too high that you would say, nope, I would do what I did with the Wii U and that's wait and see and maybe never get it or definitely get it, but it would be at this price?
I think if they land at a price that's $299 or less, I'll get it day one. I won't even question it because I do miss Nintendo. Like the nostalgia part of me is like, I miss my Mario games. There's a lot of Wii U experiences I wish I had had. So if it's $299 or less, I would get it day one. If it's more than that, then I'm not saying no right away, but I definitely want to hear, okay, why is it cost so much? Is there some kind of incredible virtual console backlog? Are they somehow going to carry your Nintendo Network ID over and now all the games you bought on the eShop will carry over? Okay, maybe now I'm interested because I've got a ton of 3DS eShop games and so on and so forth. So it depends on the games that are going to come out with it, what kind of downloadable options will they have, all those types of things. But
I think hard drive matters too. The Wii U's hard drive was a joke. I ended up buying an external hard drive. And every time I would try to use it, and apparently I bought one that was compatible, but every time I would try to use it, which this is kind of sucks for like a Xenoblade, it would just basically, the game would crash.
Oh, and I was lovely.
Like, this is so annoying.
Lovely.
Xenoblade by itself takes up my entire 32 gigabytes pretty much with all the updates and stuff.
Right.
And so I couldn't fit any other games on, so I put them all on my external hard drive, hooked it up, and it would crash. So I eventually just had to take off almost all my games and unplug my external hard drive.
Yeah, so I mean, if the base system was $300 and they said, hey, for an extra 50 or an extra 100, you can have this exponentially bigger hard drive. With my love of virtual console and downloadable stuff these days, I would probably spring for the bigger hard drive just to avoid, you know, the hassle. But that all depends on what they roll out. If it's going to be a cloud-based storage system that is brand new, probably not. Nintendo doesn't do that kind of thing. But what are they going to do? How are they going to roll it out? Will there be multiple versions of it? Those things all remain to be seen.
I have trouble believing it's going to be less than 400, but I'm like you, where I'm probably more sold than you because, like I said, my goal is to get it day one no matter what. But
You have to refresh eBay every day or wait at Best Buy.
Yeah, absolutely. And smell the boxes. Mm. But if I can, if they can at least show me a reason to buy it besides, hey, it's a hybrid. Because anybody who knows me knows I could give two craps about it being a handheld. Because I don't care about handheld gaming. Now, if it's Xbox One level graphics, then that's pretty cool. Because part of what I don't like about handhelds is I feel like it's like I'm basically playing an old game. They look old, they feel old, the controls a lot of times are clunky, so I don't really care about them. But obviously this would be different because you could play first-person shooters. But the big issue for me, and this is why I said, and I've always said this, that Nintendo had to come out and be like, we are powerful. Not because we're trying to be like Sony and Microsoft. I don't want Nintendo to be copycats. But I think in order for Nintendo to have a successful home console, they must have third-party support. They have to. And if you're always lagging behind, like if a developer or a publisher is looking at Scorpio and PS 4.5, or maybe it is the 5 in 2017 or 2018, and then they're like, oh, well, Nintendo's coming out in early 2017 with something that we're creating now, they might get some support in the beginning, but it'll eventually go away again if it doesn't have high sales.
Well, I get the skepticism. That's what I worry about. I get the skepticism about third-party support, because what has Nintendo shown us with their last few major home consoles? With the Wii,
they don't get it,
with the Wii,
the
third-party support was amazing for all sorts of garbage games. It was not amazing for your major. I mean, think the Maddens and the Call of Duties they put out on the Wii were a joke. If you ever played any of those, they were an absolute joke. And so when it comes to legitimate third-party support, the best they got is at the Wii U launch. You know, you had things like Assassin's Creed 4, and you had the Batman Origins came out, I think, or Batman Arkham City. One of those came out like a year late, and it was supposed to be some updated version. I think even Mass Effect 3 came out on the Wii U. But then that disappeared. All that support was just gone. But look at the 3DS. Look at the third-party support that Nintendo is still getting for their handheld. That's why I hold out hope that if this NX ends up being even just partially true, if they really are uniting handheld and home console units into one Nintendo system, and this is where you play all things Nintendo, their teams are no longer split to focus on handheld versus home console. Third parties no longer have to split. Do we do 3DS, which with a huge player base, or the Wii U with a dying player base? Of course they're going to go 3DS. Well, what if it's all in one spot, on the go or at home? You could play both or just one. You don't ever have to take on the go if you don't want to. I could see, and maybe I'm being too optimistic here, I could see a lot of third-party players getting back on board or just staying on board. Because remember, they're already there with the 3DS. So many third parties are still pumping out really decent games for Nintendo handhelds, and they never stopped doing that. And so that's why I'm a little bit optimistic about third-party support for a unified Nintendo system. And that's what gets me really excited is, hey, not only will we see all the Nintendo stuff on one system, I don't have to buy Mario 3D Land on the DS and Mario 3D World on my Wii U. It's just the new Mario 3D game, whatever it is, and it's all in one spot. That is amazing. And we talked about how Nintendo almost seems like a small development company these days. It's like they can only work on one game at a time. That's fine. That becomes a much better situation now because it's no longer split between their two different pillars.
They can consolidate it down to basically, hey, now our handhelds and our console games are all in one.
Yep, exactly. And the thing about the power of the system, unless I'm totally misremembering, the Wii U is able to pump out high-quality games at high frame rates and give you amazing experiences. Can it pump out the realism of what they're pushing with Uncharted 4 and Rise of the Tomb Raider? No, but is that really what Nintendo is trying to do? I don't think so. And so I'm okay with them yet again being a step behind only because it's Nintendo experiences. And the only drawback for that is it could fly in the face of what I just finished saying about third-party support. It could hinder some third-party support. So it just depends on how far behind we're talking. Does it really stunt the growth of certain developers? Maybe I am going to guess we're still going to see a difference in the games you can play on Microsoft and Sony systems and Nintendo systems. But I'm hoping that the third-party support comes back in a unique way, like it did with the Wii, but in a higher quality way. So that's kind of my hope for this thing. Another interesting thing that came out, there was a Wall Street Journal rumor that surfaced, and they have a source that says this Nintendo device will be compatible with all of Nintendo's smartphone games. So obviously, to me, Pokemon Go comes to mind, but that's not a Nintendo smartphone game. We'll come back to that in a second. But things like the new Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing that are supposedly in the works right now for phones, as well as things like Miitomo and other things that Nintendo's going to be putting out on mobile phones, it's supposed to be compatible with the system as well, which raises a few questions about, you know, what does it look like? How does it function? Is it going to be almost phone-like in some ways? What is the deal with this little unit? So But the thing that jumps out at me is the biggest win, if they were to make this happen, would be if they could harness the current popularity and power of Pokemon Go somehow. If they could harness that power into, here's the Pokemon Go full experience, whatever that looks like. Like Pokemon Go on your phones is the light experience, but if you get Pokemon Go on the NX, it's going to be, and then fill in the blank. Maybe it's a full adventure game in addition to traveling around the world and catching Pokemon. But I digress. I think this all sounds very interesting. I am very excited about the idea of a unified Nintendo platform. I mean, I'm very pumped about it.
I prefer it. Like I said, even though I say I don't care about handhelds, and I don't, if you give me a handheld that's at the level of a PS4/Xbox One, then my opinion changes, especially when you've got games like, you know, Breath of the Wild mm-hmm. coming out.
Breath
like
of the
that
Wind.
Game, whatever. Is it?
No. You said it right, but I remember last time you said Breath of the Wind. Anyway.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, big Zelda fan. But I do think I'll like that game because I think it's obviously going to be Zelda, but it's got a lot of differences. It looks like they've taken from, you know, The Witchers and Skyrim and stuff like that and made also a Zelda game. So that type of experience where I could take it with me wherever I go, mm-hmm. I mean, it'll lead to a divorce, but it'll be worth it. Like, I'll put it in my, like, divorce papers. Like, but hey, it was worth it.
That's going to go into the notes for this show. That's too good. That's... Oh, my gosh. And I just was reading through the rest of this article a little bit, too, and it sounds like one of the reasons Nintendo is holding back the reveal of the system, even though it's now coming out in 7 months, I think, is they want to protect a unique element of the NX. And it's something to do with, you know, wanting to protect this unique thing so no one else tries to copycat it, you know, before they can get their NX on the street. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if it is some kind of special linking thing that's going to happen with phones. One thing I heard that was an interesting idea on the Giant Bombcast is, let's say they did create a Pokemon Go for the NX. But of course, you don't want to get a data plan with your new Nintendo system. Maybe they've got some unique way to tether it to your phone that has a data plan. And now as you travel around, Pokemon Go works on your device and it's a different version of it or something. It was kind of an interesting idea. What if they've worked out a way? Because Nintendo is starting to, I think, become pretty fascinated with phones, with phone technology and the dominance of phones as tech in everybody's hands. I wonder if they're going to try to harness that a little bit, something with phones. And it might not, but they're protecting some sort of unique element of the NX. And if that simply is just, hey, it's got a docking station and it can go on your big screen, that's really cool. And I've just said how excited I am about it. But that's not a unique element worth protecting. I mean, there's been off-screen play for a long time now. I mean, since the Game Boy Advance was be able to hook up with your GameCube and, you know, the PSP and the PS Vita with your PS3 and PS4. And then, of course, with the Wii U, there's been plenty of off-screen options. And so being able to plug it into a dock to play on the big screen isn't all that amazing anymore. So hopefully there's a few new details that we're going to learn that will push us one way or the other. I want to know for sure. I want to either have a very clear idea that, oh no, this is not what I want and I can stay away from it, or I want to be totally sold on it and just be head over heels excited for this thing. So right now I am optimistic and hopeful that it's going to be cool. So I'm coming back, Nintendo. I'm coming back.
I mean, I just want to know what it is. That's yeah. it. I know I'm not the only one. I've seen several posts saying, please, Nintendo... I'm glad you said, you know, maybe they're protecting something. That kind of even actually hypes me a little bit more. Like, hey, they got something super secret and super unique.
Yeah.
That, yeah, Derek, it is annoying that they're waiting so long, but it's for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just some lame console and there's nothing unique about it, then I'm blaming Tim.
Yeah. Well, and according to Miyamoto, he said... there's reasons that they're not sharing anything at this point. If it were just a matter of following advancements in technology, things would be coming out a lot quicker. So there's some kind of unique hook that Nintendo has up their sleeves. And especially with Miyamoto being so heavily involved, I am hopeful. Again, I am very hopeful about what this might be. So yeah, we will see. And of course, when they do announce it, I think it probably will be in the next month or two, when they do talk about it, then you and I will circle back and talk about this. So to close things out, we've actually got some great questions from our Facebook group community. And I opened it up for some questions. We got all sorts of good questions. One of them was from this guy. Let's see, Derek Tigue. He asks, what color is blue?
Well,
it's a good one.
That guy's real smart.
I actually think that Yonatan has a great question. He says, has gaming become more accepted in today's society, or is it still seen as something only kids do?
I mean, for me, my opinion is it's more accepted into the people that play it. So that there are more people that play it. So yeah, it's accepted as far as more people accept it. But for anybody who doesn't game, like soccer moms and stuff like that, no, it's actually still very much frowned upon. Right. Yeah, it's very much frowned upon. Yeah. I constantly get harassed for my gaming, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and I do think it's on the way down, though. So I agree that with what Yonatan is saying, that it's becoming more accepted. I mean, even in my circle of friends where there's complete non-gamers who are super outdoorsy and kind of would naturally look down on that kind of hobby, now they see it as more of just another option. Like, oh, you're really into gaming? That's cool. And they just kind of move on from there. Whereas before, you would get laughed out of the room and you pretend like you don't know what a game is. You know, you're like, what? I don't know Nintendo. Because you're embarrassed of it. I think it's becoming a little bit better. But you're right. Mm-hmm. For people in our age bracket, and when we've got other responsibilities, when we, of course, make our own mistakes and let gaming take over, of course, we sometimes deserve the scoffing. But
it's like when if I ever, because I haven't really met, like I have a few friends that like casually game, like they'll play, you know, Destiny or Rocket League or something like that. But like if I ever met somebody in local area of town that's around my age that has kids and is like into gaming like I am, like I would picture it be like that scene from Step Brothers where it's like, did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Because I can't find anybody, and I know there's probably somebody I know already, probably at work, that secretly games like I do, and we just don't, like, I try to hide it. You know, I do stuff at work, and some of the other reps that I work with, they know that I'm big into gaming, but they only know because they'll pass by and, you know, catch a glimpse of like a spreadsheet I've got or something like that. And they're like, nerd.
Yeah.
But I try to hide it. I'm like, nope, I don't want you to see this because I don't want to deal with the judgment.
Yep. Yep. No, so it's still there from time to time, but for the most part, people are chilling out on all different types of hobbies. And a lot of that has to do with information and the internet, as bad and evil and horrible as it can be to see what people have to say when they show their true colors online. There's also just the fact that we know more about all sorts of different things, including different types of hobbies. And there's all sorts of different enthusiasts out there. So I think even things that I would kind of scoff at, like LARPing and things like that, I can't really call it out as being anything nerdier than what I do because I know more about it, again, just from the internet and things like that. So yeah, I think it's becoming less and less of a stigma against adults who game, but it's certainly still there at times. All right, I got one more question I thought was a good one. Our buddy Jesse asks us if we are going to start planning our Fathers of the Grind 100 episode spectacular.
No.
No. We're on episode 31, and so in 70 weeks, here it comes.
70 weeks. I'll probably fire you by then.
Yeah, if we make it to episode 100, then something major must have happened between now and then. We'll see what happens there.
I thought Jesse White had another good question. Why does Derek suck at life?
that was a good one.
You could tell our listeners, they are hardcore gamers who really care about us.
Yeah, and, well, I liked John and Alan's interaction. John says, what's the meaning of life? And Alan responds to him, 42. Man, I'm telling you, if you guys aren't in our group, you're missing out. It's a great place to be. And we've got some new members that joined this week, too, so we're excited about that. Let's keep this community growing, and we do want to keep it free and clear of too much. You know, some people just want to come in and just advertise their stuff or spam the group, and we're going to avoid that. We want to keep the game just focused on family discussion, video game discussion, we want to try to keep it clear of lot too much politics stuff, unless we're all going to make fun of it together. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't mind if you make a joke, but yeah, I don't want to debate with you.
Yeah, because we wanted this to be a place that you can come and just kind of relax. If you're going to be on social media, you can come to our group, talk about video games, talk about movies. You want to talk about, hey, I went to see Suicide Squad, here's what I thought. Or, hey, my kids did something crazy, here's the photo proof of what they just did, or whatever. Like, this is the place to come and hang out and chat. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and close it out. Thank you guys for listening. Feel free to share. I'm trying to keep up with things on YouTube. I think right now we're all caught up. So make sure you follow us, subscribe us to us on YouTube, like our Facebook group and join that. And yeah, share when you get a chance. For those of you who aren't too afraid in your groups of friends and family to share the show, especially if you know other gamers who are full-grown adults, especially if they're parents, we want them to have a chance to check it out. So thank you guys so much for listening. Derek, any closing words?
Vote Pedro. I mean, it's election year, vote Pedro.
Yeah, that's solid. All right, cool. See you guys.
Yeah, bye.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?